Today's Shir is dedicated by Mark Chipkin in memory of Adam Gavriel Ben Yaakov. We are getting towards the end of the Torah. We're at the beginning of the year. And Parsha Hazino is not easy. I don't know if any of you actually looked at it, but it's not easy at all. So we're going to get as far, hopefully, as the first pasuk, and then we're going to do like this old rabbi trick. We're going to like sort of like make believe we're talking about the Parsha, but we're really going to talk about tshuva. And the reason we're going to do that is because I spent most of the time working on my Shabbos tshuva drasha, which I will give outside, and it won't be recorded. And but it may be interesting, but that's not for now. But and some of the things I'm going to talk about actually did say in a shir a couple of years ago, and we'll see how similar or how different it will be. But either way, it is timely, and we have some things to work on. So let us begin. Hazinu shemayim va'adabera v'tishma aretz imrifi. So Moshe starts off this poetic, and it's actually a very harsh parsha. If you do read the words, you know, understand the symbolism, it really is quite harsh, and it's an attack against Am Yisrael. And on the other hand, it is an acceptance on Moshe's part of the divine judgment. But there is an attack, and he tells them how heaven and earth will be my witness. Actually, doesn't use the word witness. Well, that's part of what we're going to get to. He talks about all these things that's going to take place when he's no longer here. So let's just take a look, because this formula has been used in a very similar way. If you go backwards, and we're going to go back to Perek Lamed Aleph and then Perek Lamed. In Perek Lamed Aleph, in Pasuk Kavchet, Hikilu alai et kol ziknei shivteichem v'shotreichem v'adabra bazneichem et hadvrim eila. You know, all of you gathered together, and I'm going to say these things, v'a'ida bam et ha'shamayim v'ta'aretz. And I am going to call upon heaven and earth as a witness against you. So that's really why I said, in light of the previous usage, why I would understand this as being the same. Why particularly, you know, that turn of phrase is because of the previous one. And it was done before as well in Perek Lamed. Ha'idoti b'chem hayom et ha'shamayim v'ta'aretz. Because I'm going to call upon heaven and earth to testify. Rashi tells us, and the one in Perek Lamed Aleph, well, he refers, Ve'im Tomar Rekvar Ha'id Lamala. You know, didn't Moshe already say this before? Again, this is the middle one, Perek Lamed Aleph, and he refers to the one previously back in Lamed, and he says he's going to do it again. And therefore, he's really, what Rashi does is he brings all three of them together, which is again why I feel that there is license to combine them all together. One of the interpretations that Rashi continues to give is again, it's difficult for us. It's in source 7. Hazinu Hashemayim Sheni Matrebechem Yisrael V'tiyu Adim B'Davar. Again, I'm calling upon them to testify. And that's why, again, to bear witness. He's calling upon heaven and earth as witnesses. Shekach Amarti Lahem Sheatem Tiyu Adim V'chein Tishma Ha'aretz V'lam Eid Bahem Shemayim V'aretz Amar Moshe Ani Basavar Dam L'machar Ani Met. Now, this is not a turn of phrase in this particular case. Today I'm here, tomorrow I'm gone. No, this may actually be quite literal on Moshe's part, when tomorrow I'm gone, and he's saying, you know, just in case, and he continues to say that Am Yisrael is going to say, what are you talking about? We never agreed to any of these things. Yom Yisrael lo kipalnu aleinu habrit. We never accepted upon ourselves this covenant. Mi bo umachisham. Who's going to come and going to contradict your denial? So therefore he calls upon heaven and earth. Another thing which is pointed out by some of the commentaries is that God's partner, as it were, in creation is heaven and earth. But again, you have to be careful how you nuance that. But what it means is that God will use heaven and earth in order to mete out punishment, which means God can call upon nature to respond. And then that's part of what's going on here. So let's just like regroup for a moment. We have the same phrase which is used multiple times within a number of chapters, and that phrase is how Moshe calls upon heaven and earth time and time and time again as his witness in terms of what's about to take place to Am Yisrael. And what he's doing literally is saying, I'm not going to be here forever, and therefore I'm calling upon these witnesses. Okay. Now, in As far as where we are today, when I say today, I'm talking about literally today, Erev Shabbat Shuvah, Erev Yom Kippurim, Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. So all of this takes upon a slightly different type of nuance to it. Let's take a look at source number 10, the Nachlat Yaakov, or of Yaakov Loberbaum. He says, Hazinu Hashemayim Vadabera, and he says, Vinei Tamua, this is what I referenced before, Shekadosh Baruch Hu, Hu Ha'ed, Hu Ha'baldin, L'chein Nira Dekavanato, Ki Bal Chavot HaLolot Katav, Shemidrugat HaTeva, Which is again turning to this point that God is going to use teva, nature, as part of his arsenal if Am Yisrael do not stand up to the Brit, which means if we don't keep the Brit. I'm going to take a little bit of a sidestep, and we'll see as we continue why this is going to be important, but right now it's going to be somewhat of a non sequitur. Look at source number 12, the Sefer HaChinuch. We'll note where he is speaking. He's speaking about the mitzvah, Shin Yud Aleph, Shelo la'asot melacha biyom rishon b'tishrei. We were commanded not to do any work on the very first day of Tishrei, which of course we all know is Rosh Hashanah. Now, those of us who don't know this, if we are ever looking for ta'amei ha-mitzvot, for reasons for the mitzvot, one of the, if not the best place to look, is the Sefer HaChinuch. By each one of the Taryag Mitzvot, he gives us Mishorshei HaMitzvot, Ta'amei HaMitzvot, or reasons behind it. Now again, let's keep in mind that Rosh Hashanah, as far as the Torah is concerned, does not give us all that much information, at least in terms of the what we would call the simple level of Pshat. He says, Mishorshei Mitzvah HaMoed HaZeh, Sheyami Chasdei HaKel, that part of what this mitzvah is about is that out of God's incredible compassion, Al Buryav on his creation, Lifkod Otam, Vilarot Ma'aseim, Yom Echad B'kol Shana V'Shana, that God will look into how we're doing one day a year, each year. Why? Kidei Shelo Yitrabu Ha'avonot Kol Kach, V'yeh Makom L'Kapara. In order that the amount of our sins don't increase so much to the point that we can't possibly deal with it. And this is one of God's behaviors or manifestations of chesed. And since there's not all that much on a yearly basis, so God is able to forgive us. And if perhaps we need some heavy punishment, then God also can take his time and have us pay back in installments over a period of time. So what is it the Sefer HaChinuch is telling us? And again, we'll see why this is important. He's saying that if God were to wait and do, you know, let's wait, I don't know what it is, for a 10-year checkup, right? See how you're doing after 10 years. So the Sefer HaChinuch is saying after 10 years go by that it may be too late. When 10 years go by, it may be so much sin. But there's something which is implicit in the words of the Sefer HaChinuch, which is really what I want to address. And that is, every year in Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, maybe more so Yom Kippur, we get up and we say the exact same things. We say, we're sorry for this, and we won't do this again, and really, we can't believe we did this, and we regret, and we accept upon ourselves, and everything we're supposed to say, and then we end up saying the next year the exact same thing again. And we return back to the same behaviors again. So, does it really work when we do tshuva if we keep coming back and doing the exact same things? Now, I'll say it again. What was implicit in the Sefer HaChinuch is, yeah, and God knows that it's going to pile up. Now, of course, you could say to me that I'm not being precise. It could be that he's referring to different types of sins, not necessarily the same sin coming back. But I'll say again, it's implied in his words that our sins would be too enormous if we waited too long, and therefore God knows that we're going to continually mess up. We're not going to be okay. We're going to continually mess up. And then year after year after year, God forgives us, even though we don't undergo this dramatic and permanent change. It's really the issue. We don't change. We're still frail human beings. And I guess my question then really is that when, you know, Yom Kippur's coming around, so is this really fair? I taught this idea early in the week to my students, and I asked them. I'll tell you what one of the students said. He was very clever. But I said, pick a day. I don't care which one it is. You can pick your wife's birthday or your anniversary. And you go over to them and you buy them flowers and you say, listen, I really appreciate you and I love you. And I'm sorry for all the things I've done this year. And then you start listing all the things that you've done this year. Now, let's just say that some of those things are really, really bad. So you say, you know, I'm sorry, you know, for that affair that I had. And I'm sorry I cheated on you. And I'm sorry. And you say all these things. Well, your wife say, well, really, that's so beautiful. And here are the beautiful flowers. And thank you so much. And so on. And then you swear you're never going to do it again. And then like 3 weeks later, you're checking out some girl walking up the block. And then a month later, you're flirting with somebody else. And then 6 weeks later, you do something else. And now you go and you've gone right back to the same terrible behavior you had before. Is your wife going to keep on being understanding? So one of my young students, who's not married yet, had great, great insight. And he said, I think you're describing the wrong relationship. And again, this was insightful. He goes, I think it's more like a parent with a child than with a husband and a wife. So as I said, I liked very much what he said. Of course, then I responded and said, so if your father gave you the car and he got drunk and you smashed it and then he did it a second time and a third time, is he going to keep on giving you the car? Or is at some point, that's it, that's not going to happen? So he admitted that I was right, even though I liked very much his answer. And I think he's onto something there. I mean, we do keep on saying Avinu Malkeinu. And as I said, there is something there. But nonetheless, you know, this self-destructive behavior that we have on every single year, and then Rosh Hashanah come along, you know, the high holy days come along, you know, right? We must be high, right? We must be on drugs if we think that this is actually going to work. Why in the world is this going to work if we keep messing up? And therefore, the Sefer Chinuch is interesting because he says, yeah, I know you're going to mess up every year. And therefore, I don't want your bill to get too high. I want you to have a chance to pay it off in a way that you can actually afford it. So therefore, I'm going to give you this year after year after year. You're going to have this Rosh Hashanah, and I'll continue Rosh Hashanah, Seret Yimei Tshuva, and Yom Kippur experience. Okay. Source 13, we could skip, but we won't. It is the introduction of the Rambam to the laws of tshuva. And what I really want to try to do is to check this idea. And there's going to be one phrase in the Rambam that we're going to find very, very problematic, which will take us back to God as a witness. Mitzvah Taseh Echad. In the 10 chapters which are coming up, there's really only one mitzvah that will be dealt with. V'hu sheyashuv hachotei michet'o lefnei Hashem v'yitvadeh. And that is that the sinner, notice the Rambam makes a value judgment, you are a sinner if you sin. I know that's not nice. We don't want to call people sinners. No, we're not a sinner. We're nice people who maybe made mistakes. The Rambam says no. I mean, if you want to do tshuva, you need to know you've done something wrong. There is this great debate, which I think is unnecessary, whether the Rambam actually thinks that tshuva is a mitzvah. And here he writes, there's one mitzvah. V'hu, but it's complex. Sheyashuv. So obviously part of the mitzvah is sheyashuv. Just because of that, it's harder to convince me the position of the Minchat Chinach. There's no mitzvah. He says the mitzvah is vidoy, but it's not what the Rambam says. For who sheyashuv, you need to return. Hachote, who has to return? The sinner needs to return. Mecheto, from his sin, which again means that there must be cognition. You need to know that you're a sinner. You need to know that there's a sin. You need to know you've done something wrong. And then he adds another couple of things. Lefnei Hashem, you need to do this in front of God. Vayitvadeh, and you need to verbalize this, which means I'll say it one more time. There is this complex thing called tshuva, and this complex thing called tshuva has a lot of moving parts to it. One of the moving parts is one that I didn't mention yet clearly. It has to be Lefnei Hashem. If a person, instead of Lefnei Hashem, if you take my example before, if the person just looks in the mirror and says, I must be insane. I mean, that's crazy, my behavior. I have to stop doing this. My wife is going to kill me. My children will be embarrassed of me, and I have to stop doing it. But there's no God brought into it. That's not tshuva. That perhaps, if we're lucky, will be rehabilitation, but that's not tshuva. The difference is that rehabilitation is from present toward future. Tshuva has this ability of cleansing the past. So therefore, the only thing that can cleanse the past is Lefnei Hashem. And Lefnei Hashemness, if we're going to make up a term, is very much part and parcel of what Yom Kippur is all about. on Yom Kippur, it's Lefnei Hashem Titaru. It is, of course, Lefnei Hashem. And, of course, the name Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei. And Yud Kei Vav Kei is outside of time. So part of this mystery or this magical thing called tshuva is the ability of cleaning the past as well, not just rehabilitation towards the future, but it's also part of cleansing the past. And I'll read the line of the Ram again. What is this mitzvah? Sheyashuva chotei mecheto. The sinner has to stop doing their sin, return from their sin, lefnei Hashem, in front of God, vayitvadeh. And that person must then confess this, which means the confession is important. We're going to come back to all of these elements now as we continue, skipping Perek Aleph, and that will be a challenge for all of us to figure out why the Rambam bothered with Perek Aleph if I can just skip it so easily. And what I mean that I can skip it so easily is that he starts as if it is Perek Aleph, and he says, Ezi tshuva gemura. So what is tshuva? How do you, you know, do or get to complete tshuva? Now, there is something intriguing over here again, and that is that the Rambam, in this particular case, I mean, right over here, he did something else which is really intriguing, because in this Perek Bet Halacha Aleph, where he starts, Ezi tshuva gemura, what is complete tshuva? And then he, by Halacha Bet, Mahi tshuva, what is tshuva? And I actually would have thought that he should have done this the other way around. I know you can argue with me, but I would have thought that the second halacha should have been first. Okay, there's one mitzvah, it's called tshuva, that the sinner has to return from their sin in front of God and confess. I would have thought, excuse me, that I should start, okay, so what is tshuva? But instead, the Rambam starts with this halacha aleph, and he calls this tshuva gemura, which we're going to have to evaluate and to figure out what exactly does he mean by this. But let's read a little bit. Eze tshuva gemura. And I'm translating now complete tshuva without really knowing what the word complete means. Does it mean it's the highest level, or does it mean that you've come full circle? I think the first time I would read this, I would assume the highest level, but I think upon contemplation it may mean something else. It's more like coming full circle. And let's read. What is complete tshuva? Where the opportunity presents itself on something that this person has done, and he has the ability of doing it. And he doesn't do it because of the tshuva. Again, not because of rehabilitation or even for other reasons, but because of tshuva. And I'm going to define tshuva as his new relationship with God. Because what is tshuva? It's lefnei Hashem. If it's not lefnei Hashem, it's not tshuva. So therefore, he, because of his new relation with God, he doesn't do it. Lo miyira, not out of fear. Now, fear could either be that your wife will kill you, or her husband's going to kill you, or someone else is going to kill you, but someone's going to kill you. Lo miyira, not out of fear. But lo mikishlon koach, not because you've become too weak to do what you've done. And if you thought I was making up this example before, the Rama goes in and he takes over my example. Ketzad. Let's say a person had an illicit relationship with a woman. And sometime later, he finds himself secluded with her. By the way, I love that turn of phrase. He finds himself secluded with her. What do you mean you find yourself? You happen to book into the same hotel room. I mean, what do you mean you found yourself secluded with her? This is quite, this to me is quite mysterious. And he still loves her. Unless you want to use the word lust, I'm fine with that as well. Uvakoach gufo, and he still has the physical abilities to do what he did. Uv midnashavarbo, it has the same rules, permissive society that he lived in. Upirash vidlo avar, but he separates and he does not sin. Zehu bal tshuva gemura. That is this real, complete bal tshuva. So what do the Rambam say? In order to do real tshuva, you need to be in the same situation. By the way, if you create the same situation because you're such a good Baal Tshuva, then you are, in fact, a fool. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that. He said, listen, I need to do Tshuva. So I'm going to call her up. I'm going to invite her to the hotel room. I'm going to, and then once I'm presented with the situation, then I'm going to turn around and walk out because I'm such a wonderful Baal Tshuva. Vimlo Shav Elimei Ziknuto. But what if a person only returned to God when they were older? And he no longer is able to do what he once did. even though it's not perfect or exalted tshuva, mo'ela tilo, it's nonetheless effective. Ubal tshuvahu, and that person is a penitent. That person is about tshuva. Afilu avar kol yamav. Even if a person sinned their entire life, vasat tshuva biyom mitato, and did tshuva the day of their death, umet b'tshuvato, and died being about tshuva, kol avonotav nimchalin. That's incredibly important. If you are about tshuva, God will forgive all of the sins. Until the sun sets, which is the day of death, miklal, therefore, she'im zachar barovishav kodem she'amud nislachlo. So all of that was chapter 1, which was really quite dramatic, and he took us into the bedroom, and he took us into this place of seclusion, and then we get to the much more staid, boring halacha bed. Uma hi atshuva. And what is tshuva? Hu she'ezov achote cheto. So let's start counting and enumerating. Number one, the person needs to stop doing what they've done, but not the person. Again, the value judgment is here again. She'ezov achote cheto. That the sinner must leave their sin. Again, it goes back, it reminds us of that introductory statement. Hu yeshuv achote mecheto. Lefnei Hashem. Hu she'ezov achote cheto. You want to do tshuva? So here is the first hint. You need to stop doing the sin that you're doing. You need and you are a sinner. You, Mr. Sinner, or Mrs. Sinner, we are fair, needs to stop the sin that they're doing. Number two, v'yasirenu mimachshavato. They need to eradicate the sin from their minds, from their mindset. That's actually quite intriguing. Over here, he has addressed the sinner. Now he addressed the sinner's mind, and then he addressed the sinner's heart. V'yigmor bilibo shelo yaseu od. And he must decide in his heart that he will not do this again. Shenema yazov rashad darko v'ish avin machshavatav. That a wicked person should leave their path, and a person who's full of sin should, you know, change their thoughts. It's, if you really think about it, you'll realize that everything that he had said in that sentence is really contained in that verse. The machshavotav is there, the derko is there. That they should leave your path, that's probably what he means is vayisimrenu amachshavato. So let me explain this a little bit more. There are things which give a person chiyus. Chiyus would be Yiddish or Litvish English, which is Yiddish. Chiyus. Actually, even Hasidish, even better. It's Hasidish English. Chiyus means the thing that energizes you, the thing that excites you, the thing that gives you life. Chiyus. Chiyut in Hebrew doesn't do the same thing for me. So if this particular sin is what energized you, you need to recalibrate and you need to recreate your inner world, and that thing which brought you so much excitement needs to be eradicated. I mean, I'll read it again if you want to the Rambam. She'ezov cheto. On the one hand, the sinner must stop doing that sin, v'yisirenu mimachshavato. But it needs to be, you need to somehow, again, recalibrate your inner world, that is not the thing that you want to do or excited about doing or energized about doing. That is no longer what defines you. V'yigmor b'libo shelo yaseu od. And then you decide in your heart that you will not do this again. He quotes the verse, which we'll skip now. V'chein, and additionally, yitnachim al sha'avar. Person should also reject the past. Shenemar ki acharei shuvi nichamti, v'acharei hivadi sifakti ayarech. And then we get to the line which is going to be really why we're here now. V'yaid alav yodea ta'alumot. And then the knower of all secrets will attest shelo yashuv l'zachit l'olam, that this person will never return to this sin again. So in our parsha, we had this idea of calling upon heaven and earth. And of course, calling upon heaven and earth was really a way of talking about God ultimately being the one who will testify. Over here, we have God, this necessity that God has to testify a person will not do this again, which then leads me to our problem of recidivism. What about the person who will come back to their sin? What about the person who will repeat this? What about this person who every single year does the same things again and again? What if on Yom Kippur we should keep coming back to the exact same place? What would the Rambam say? So let me just add two more things about the Rambam, and then we'll return to our question. V'tzarech lehitvadot b'sfatav. The person needs to say vidoy. By the way, that also is going to bring God into it, because it has to be in front of God. V'lomar inyanot elu shegumar b'libo. And he has to then say these things which he has decided in his heart, which means we also need this verbalization. Halacha gimel, the Rambam says, continuing with the vidoy, the confession, anybody who says vidoy but is not really decided not to do it. By the way, notice again, the libo is the future. I'm not going to do this again. Lazov over here is the vidoy has to be as well. The shagamar bilibo, which he said by the vidoy over here, would parallel to where he spoke about the heart earlier. V'yigmor b'libo shalei aseh lo. He makes this decision in his heart, he will never do this again. So the Rambam here is saying, is anybody who says vidoy, v'lo gemar b'lilo azov, and he hasn't really decided to move away from sin, harei zeh dome l'tovel v'sheret b'yado. That's like a person who goes into the mikveh, but is still holding on to the thing which made them impure. She'ein ha'tfila mo'elet. That the immersion is not going to help them until they get rid of the thing which is contaminating them. Let's line up our problems, because there are many. One problem is the person who's going to do it again. And most people seem to revisit Yom Kippur, and they're not that different than they were the year before, so are they fooling themselves? Second point is the Rambam speaks about not only taking upon yourself to change the future, he also speaks about rejecting the past. Again, this is not the same as rehabilitation. There needs to be a rejection of the past as well. It's not just future-oriented. And that is a problem for our generation. Because to a very great extent, our generation are the types of people who will say, listen, I am who I am because of all the mistakes that I've made. I have no regrets. Regrets, I've had a few. And you can fill in the rest of the refrain where a person says, no, I don't regret things that I've done. That made me who I am. And I'm going to stop doing this, but I don't regret. And over here, regret is an important part of this. But the thing which is actually, you know, huge is how do we compare Halacha bet, which is mahi tshuva, which seems to be the run-of-the-mill type of tshuva, compared to tshuva gemura in the first paragraph, because the thing which really troubles me is in halacha bet he says v'yasirenu mimachshavato, which I took a little time to try to explain. You've eradicated that from your thoughts, from your inner world. It's no longer a part of you. And yet in Halacha Aleph, he was talking dramatically about the person who happens to be secluded in the room with this woman who he still loves or lusts and wants, which means the sin is still part of his inner world, which means there's like this inner contradiction between Halacha Aleph and Halacha Bet. In Halacha Bet, the person was expected to eradicate those thoughts. In Halacha Aleph, that's part of the test, which means if you've somehow have gotten to the point that you're no longer interested, then what kind of test is this? Rav Huttner in the Pachad Yitzchak has an interesting chapter on this, where he does say that there's something counterintuitive about this, which means essentially, the more the Yetzirah is still strong, that means the less tshuva that you've done, but it means that the greater the test is. And if you completely succeeded in getting rid of the Yetzirah, so at that point, then what kind of test is there? Which means there is this basic contradiction between these two. Again, just to use an example, let's say that there's a person who, we will choose non-kosher pizza as our example. Let's say this person ate non-kosher pizza. Now, there's many, many ways that that could have happened, so I'm going to leave that which way it happened, but I want to come to the follow-up. So is the follow-up that or even we'll go back to the sin. Did he eat on kosher pizza because he was very mad at the Jewish establishment? And he said, I'm not paying the Jewish tax. I'm not paying for the kosher pizza. I'm not going to pay for the mashgiach. I'm not going to pay for the kosher cheese. I'm not going to pay for the rabbi. I'm going to go, and I want to use this example now. I'm going to go to the more expensive, not as good, I mean, this is just an example, which of course not part of the real world. I'm going to go to the more expensive, not as good, non-kosher pizza store, which is further away. And that was this person's sin. So when this person does tshuva, so then what does he have to now do? Now he has to go to the cheaper, better, closer kosher pizza store. So what kind of test is that? Meaning, what do you mean in the same situation? On the other hand, let's say, you know, somebody failed because the pizza store, and by the way, I just now described a sin, which is lahachis. On the other hand, let's say the person's sin was b'tei avon, which means they couldn't help themselves. They're far away from a Jewish community. There's no kosher pizza stores there. He walks by. It smelled so good. He looks left. He looks right. Nobody's looking. He's really hungry. Okay, maybe all the ingredients are kosher, except for the, like, whatever, the salami or whatever that is on top. And maybe it really is kosher. And he tries to convince himself that it's really good. And he eats this. So what was his situation that created this? He was hungry and he was desperate. He was far away. So therefore, for him to be in the same situation is going to be actually much harder than the person in the first situation, because the first situation was a person who's, it was lahachis. He did it even though he wasn't hungry and it wasn't as good and it was more expensive, which means we're essentially going to have an invert relationship when you're in the same situation again. By definition, the more severe the sin is, the easier it's going to fix, and the less severe the sin was, the harder it is to fix, which is essentially the problem which Rav Hutner spells out, which means that everything is more complex. And really what we need to ask ourselves, so what exactly does Tshuva Gemorah mean? And that's why I want to go back and say, I'm more impressed with the individual in Halacha Bet. It wasn't as exciting. It didn't have a bedroom. It didn't have this object of their love. It was just simply Yisirenu Mimach Shepato, which means what the Rambam is describing over here is somebody who completely recalibrated and now is no longer interested. I remember a number of years ago, I gave a class on this, and I gave four different possibilities, which I'm not going to belabor this point. But let's just say you have somebody, again, the exact situation he gives us in Halacha Aleph. Somebody walks into a room, and there is this woman who's there. So case number one would be somebody who's never sinned before, has no interest in sinning, walks in and walks out. Case number two would be somebody who's never sinned but is interested in sinning, walks in, opportunity is there, but walks out. Case number three would be somebody who has sinned before with this woman, walks in but says, I've done tshuva and I can't do this again, but wants to do it again and walks out. And case number four would be somebody who's done this again, who's done so much tshuva, he's become the person the Rambam describes in Halacha Bet, Yisirenu Mimach Shepato, he completely eradicated from his thoughts, walks in, now has no longer any interest and walks out. So of those four people, which is the one who's most impressive? So obviously number one is most impressive because you never sinned. Number two, who wants to sin and walked out, so there was some temptation there, and the person defeated the Yetzer Hara, so there is something impressed. Person number three is somebody who has sinned, wants to sin again, nonetheless controls themselves, so that person will get a great deal of reward for walking out of the room. Person number four, who's no longer interested, is not going to get any reward for walking out of the room because they didn't want to do that anymore. Sin disgusted them. They found this something which was absolutely abhorrent. So why would that person get reward for walking out of the room? Why would that be tshuva gemura? So that actually what I think is at stake over here is, I think some people may lead their lives constantly being Baalei Tshuva, and some people may actually get past being a Baal Tshuva anymore. And what I mean by that, if you're no longer involved or tempted or interested in the sin that you've done, I think you're no longer a Baal Tshuva at that point. I think you've become a tzaddik at that point. And what I mean by that is the first person had no interest in this sin. It's completely outside of their mind frame. So that person is actually the same as number four. The only difference is the past. But that's part of what tshuva does. Tshuva can eradicate the past. Tshuva can erase the past. So therefore, this is really something which is dramatic. But if you think about it, source Perek Bet Halacha Aleph was the individual who became the Baal Tshuva Gemura, right? Complete Baal Tshuva because they're controlling their passion. But the person in Halacha Bet, or what we are trying to achieve, is not just controlling passion, but no longer having that passion, which is really a completely different level. And it's quite interesting. But that's not the only thing that bothered me today. The thing which bothers me more is this individual who calls upon God as their witness. And again, the turn of phrase was, V'ya'id alav yodei ta'alumot. And the knower of all secrets will attest that he's never going to do this again. So now what happens to all of us who've done tshuva, say we're sorry on Yom Kippur, and the next Yom Kippur we're standing in front of God, listening, remember that thing I said last year I'm never going to do again? We need to talk about this, right? I'm back there. I've done the same thing again. So does that mean that the previous tshuva didn't work? Or does that mean that the previous tshuva did work? So first let me just touch... let me show you a completely obscure source, number 15. It's a drasha for Erev Yom Kippurim from Rav Yitzchak Rav Nosson Reitbard from Vilna, who I had not heard of before. And he said, Shamati mi ha Rav Hagon Hadarshan Rerenu Rav Osher Morit Tzedek Bishnimchuk, which is actually a small town right outside of Vilna. Shnimchuk, I think is how you pronounce it. I've actually seen it written in English as well. And he writes, Vizel, a little lower down, Vizel Kavanat HaGemara Ve'im Shana Behem, right, he quotes this, and he says, Vizel Kavanat HaGemara Ve'im Shana Behem, Harei Agli Miltel Afrei, Tshuva Talo Hita Tshuva Ma'alia. His tshuva didn't really work that well. L'zot Tzarich Lidvadot Sheinit B'Yom HaKippurim, Achar Al Oto Hachet Atzmo, Acharei Da'od Lo Asa Tshuva Gemura Al Zab Yom Kippurim Ma'avar. He needs to now do tshuva twice on Yom Kippur, once for, and maybe, by the way, one of the things we do say in the Al-Chayt on Vidoy Dvarim. We say Al-Chayt for using the Vidoy and not being sincere with our Vidoy. But he's saying you need to do tshuva for your bad tshuva that you've done in the past. So I thought that that was interesting. Because he stays in this exact same place every Yom Kippur. So it really is interesting because he brings that up as a possibility. I'm going to come back to this idea. The Lech HaMishnah has a completely different problem. If God attests you're never going to do it again, V'im Tomer, Eich HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ya'id Alav Kach V'chilo Nishara B'chira B'yado. So you've lost free will. V'yishlom B'deperishu Kach Kisha'as Shebishah Shehu Asa Tshuv V'tzor Shekabel Alav La'id La'ashem Yitbarach Shal Yashuv L'zechet L'olam. V'hu al derech v'ayid li ha'shamayim v'aretz, which goes right back to our concept that we started with in Sefer Dvarim. What the Lech HaMishnah is saying, it's not that God testifies. Rather, I need to be so sincere. I will not do this again. God is my witness. I will not do this again. Of course, what's our problem? What happens if you do it again? Which leads me to sources 17 and 18, and you can choose which one. And I put the sources up online, and you can look at them later. And it's worthwhile reading all of source 18, which we're not going to do. But it's Rav Yisrael Salanter. And Rav Yisrael Salanter, you know, sometimes doesn't get enough credit. That's the problem of being such a tzaddik. People don't really realize that they're such a big Talmud Chacham as well. Someone once said that because the Chafetz Chaim was such a big tzaddik, people didn't realize what kind of lamdan he was. And because Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was such a great lamdan, people didn't realize what kind of a tzaddik he was. But nonetheless, Rabbi Yisrael has an incredible insight over here. And we're going to quote the Avodas HaMelech, which is Rav Krakovsky. He was in Vilna as well, and he was a uncle of Rabbi Soloveitchik. V'kfara iti laharav or Yisrael, zechon levecha, b'kontris kochvei or, shamad al seder divru rabbeinu shona mana azivat hachet v'kabalat al haba v'achar kakata v'chein nachem al sha'avar shehu acharata v'achar kakata v'ira lev yodei talumot shelo yashuv lezechet la'olam shizah shayich legedr ha'kabalat al haba. It's not in the right order. I'll explain in a moment. Let's go back to the Rambam, and this will be a little bit clearer. He says the sequence doesn't make sense. What does the Rambam say in Halacha Bet? And let's go through it one more time, orderly. What's tshuva? One, Shezov achotei chato. The sinner has to stop doing what they've done. Good. Next, v'sir machshavato. You have to recalibrate. Get it out of your mind. Get it out of your thoughts. Three, v'yigmur belibel shelo yaseu. Oh, that's future oriented. First, shezov one is present. Stop doing it. Two is present. Get it out of your mind. Three is future. It's present, moving, thinking about the future. I will not do this again. I will decide in my heart, I will not do this again. So he says, that's the point that it should have had that line. And therefore, God will attest that he's not going to do it again, because that's the future-oriented. But there's a problem. There's a line in the middle. And moreover, and moreover, you have to reject the past. You have to have regret. And then be a little love Yudea Talamo Lamachalayashuv Lachetalam. So what Yisrael Salanter says is that the testimony of the knower of all secrets, God, that you're not going to do it again, is not a modifier of my acceptance of the future not to do it again. Rather, it is a modifier to what degree I've regretted what I've done in the past. He says, just read the words. That's where it's there. Now, again, I want you to think about this and understand the implications of this. What Yisrael Salanter said is actually a little bit what I said before. The people in our generation don't have regret. He said it about his generation also. People don't really have regret. They say they have regret, but the regret isn't enough. He goes, your regret needs to be to the extent that God could attest you're not going to do it again. What he means by this is that the regret has to be so sincere. He goes, generally the problem is this: the regret's not really sincere. And because the regret's not sincere, that even though I say, okay, I'm not going to do it again, it doesn't work. It's not, meaning he's saying that the failure in the future to implement tshuva is not a function that I didn't decide enough that I'm not going to do it again. It's rather because I didn't reject it enough in the past by saying that was such a bad mistake. So what he's saying is that the ve'idol of Yodea Talamuot is actually modifying my rejection of the past and not my Kabbalah la'atid. And it's just a really interesting comment, which means also he's saying is, yes, we're going to mess up and we're going to do it again. But I want to actually explain a little bit more about what emerges from, and as I said, it's a long piece and I didn't include all of it. What happens if I completely, totally reject what I've done? What happens then? Which means, what happens if I say to the extent, I will not do this again. This is impossible that I'll do it again. And again, the reason why it's impossible, that this was such a moral failure. I am disgusted with what I've done. Again, the rejection is complete and sincere. Is it possible that you'll do it again? And the answer is yes. Now, there's an interesting Gemara that needs to be brought into this whole discussion. The Gemara says that if a person does a sin once and then does it a second time, it becomes mutarlo, hutarlo. The Gemara says, hutarlo? Now it's allowed? I mean, that's the way to be allowed to sin? You just got to do it a couple times? And it says, no. But to them, it's as if it's allowed. What the Gemara is really telling us is about an inner struggle that takes place before a person sins the first time. Which means the first time, this is forbidden fruit. I can't do this. This is wrong. There's no way. And then you find a way. And then what happens the second time? So the second time, again, there's a struggle, and there's an inner struggle, but it's not going to be as profound as the struggle was the first time. And then what happens the third time? Each time you proceed, the struggle, the inner struggle becomes less and less and less, because this is something which for you now has become completely part of your inner world. Meaning, that's why the tshuva has to have this recalibration. That's why it has to become something for you that I reject this so profoundly, that this is something which, there's no way I can do this again. So now the question is going to become, when the sin presents itself again in the future, here's the question. Will my inner struggle be as if it were the very first time that I'm doing it all over again? Or will my inner struggle be like the 50th time? Again, I want to use that example. I've done something 49 times during the year. Then Rosh Hashanah comes along, and then the Eseret Yimei Tshuva, and then Yom Kippur comes along, and I beat myself up, and I say, I can't do this, and this is something which is morally reprehensible, and I reject it, and I have true reject of it. And then afterwards, I take this out of my inner world. This is something which I find unaesthetic. It's something which I can't see myself doing, and I accept upon myself I'm not going to do it again. And then 6 months later, an opportunity comes up again, and this, whatever this was, presents itself. This is a new Yetzer Hara It's not the old Yetzer Hara. Because the old Yetzer Hara didn't have to work so hard. The old Yetzer Hara, what do you mean? Why am I struggling now? So really what happens, if I do true tshuva, and even if I'm a recidivist, I'm not a recidivist. I didn't come back to the same sin. I came back to a new sin. Why is it a new sin? Because I've done tshuva in between, which means real tshuva is one which breaks that behavior, which allowed me to do what I've done, and now I may do it again, which means historically, in terms of a person's life, they may do it again. But that's the question. Are they doing it the 51st time, or are they doing it the first time, even though historically it's the 51st time they're doing it? Which means, what's the experience that they're having? Is there a struggle going on? Do they know that this is wrong, and how can I do this? Okay, the Yetzer Hara can win. But again, how hard did the Yetzer Hara have to work? That's part of the question of tshuva. If the Yetzer Hara has to work incredibly hard until it's victorious, is it like that first time? Meaning, go back to the Gemara. You did something one time, two times. It becomes mutar. Why? Because it's habitual. It becomes part of who you are. But now you've done tshuva, and you've reset the clock that this is something which is no longer part of you. If that's the case, it may very well be that that is what tshuva is. Tshuva is wiping out that slate, which means you go again further. Lack of resolve, lack of regret, is actually the problem that we've been discussing. That's what the Rambam says right afterwards. If a person goes into the mikveh and is still holding on, what's the holding on? There wasn't regret, which means the issue over here is regret. Notice what the Rambam did. We can look at it again. Sandwiched between the two discussions of regret was Ad She'id Yodea Talumot, until the knower of all secrets will attest. It's right between those two things. One was, and you need to regret it. And then he says, until the knower of all secrets will attest, you're not going to do it again. And right afterwards, what did the Rambam say? Right afterwards, he says, and if a person has to say vidoy, and if they don't really regret it, it's as if they gone into the mikveh still holding on to the thing. So therefore, regret is what's necessary. When I go into the mikveh of Yom Kippur, and I don't advise going to the mikveh this year, but if I go into the mikveh of Yom Kippur, and I've totally regretted what I've done, God wipes the slate clean. Could it be that you're going to come back and do again what you've done? Yes, but you're not doing the same thing again, which means maybe we'll make a slight diuk in the words of the Rambam, if I can find what I'm looking for. Shelo yachzor lezeh hachet la'olam. Where is that language? Here it is. In Allah Abed, v'yaid alav yodeya talmud shelo yashuv lize hachet laolam. He's never going to return to this sin. What is this sin? This sin, which is a part of who he is. But he can turn to the same sin in the future, but it's not the same sin anymore. Why isn't it the same sin? Because he had to struggle again. Which means it is sincere regret, which is actually, I think, what the Rambam is advocating as the key part of tshuva. And by the way, this also happens to be one of the main teachings of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, I think, will emphasize regret, charata, as the strongest element of tshuva. Is I regret what I've done. That essentially the amount of regret that I have will the amount of cleansing that I get. It's completely proportionate. If a person doesn't have real regret, but listen, okay, God, I don't want to get punished. Please, I won't do it again. But there's no real regret there. So it's a little less of how the tshuva impacts upon that. But again, real tshuva is actually fixing the personality. At the end of the sources there, I have two more. One is from Rav Soloveitchik, which goes back to this issue of calling upon God as testifying. So he points out something which actually, if one reads carefully, is already in the Ramchal, in the Derech Hashem. But what the Rav says is like this. You know, when you sin, you've actually done two things. One is you've done something wrong that God said not to do. The other thing is, which go right back into our parsha, you broke the covenant. You remember that line that we saw? You'll say, what covenant? I never accepted this one. No, there's a covenant, which means I need to call upon God, which means I need to reestablish a covenant with God. I need to fix the brit with God. By the way, as it were, the wedding, the marriage. I need to fix this marriage now because of all the things that were done. Which means tshuva means not just saying I'm sorry for what I've done. No, it's also something proactive I need to fix. And that's the way the Rav understood this point over here of Ad She'id Yodea Ta'alumot, because I need to fix the relationship as well. I need to take my vows all over again. It's not just enough to say I'm sorry for what I've done, and which will really lead me to the last source that I wanted to look at today. But just for a moment, I'll show you where the Rav says this, because it is a little bit obscure as well. It's in his commentary to the Gemara in Nedarim, which is not would not have been the first place that you necessarily would have looked. But he does speak about this as kritat brit. We need there to be a new over here lefnei Hashem vayitvadeh kolin tamua achalin litbonin. What do we need? You know all of this, and he ends up by saying is that we need to fix this. We're like about tim lekach mazika ram. I need to somehow create. It's as if creating a new relationship with God as well, and that is really what he speaks about over here, really at great length, and it's worthwhile seeing this if you have time. But I want to end with Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Shrechem Yisrael, lefnei mi atem mitaharim. In front of whom do you become purified? Avichem sheba shemayim, shenemar, and so on. Va'omer mikve Yisrael. There's a lot to talk about. God throws this clarifying waters, cleansing waters, and mikve Yisrael. Ma mikve mitaret atzmeim, afakadosh baruch hu mitaret Yisrael. And that's the way that Masechet Yoma comes to an end in terms of the Mishnayot. That God is a mikveh, not only Yom Kippur, God is a mikveh, but that's the right way to end all of Yoma, that God is a mikveh. And I find something suggestive about that, is that means if you immerse yourself within God, or you immerse yourself within God's agent, which is Yom Kippur, there is something cleansing, and there is something there which could purify us. But it also means that it's a yearly effect, it's a yearly impact, which brings me back to the very beginning of the Rush. The Rush says, why do we have this? Because every year it's going to go up. Every year we have so many things. And that's, I think, really implied in this Mishnah as well, that God is a mikvah. Why do we need a mikvah? Because we become tameh every year. That's why we need a yearly Yom Kippur. Again, I'm really just saying over the Rush, but I'm just applying it to this idea as well. God is a mikvah, purifies. But how does God purify us? God purifies us when we enter in. But how do we enter in? So that's what the Rambam told us. We have to throw away the thing that we've done. What does it mean to throw away? We need regret. Which means ultimately what tshuva is regret, and that's what allows the mikvah to work. That's what allows us to immerse ourselves. That's what allows us to become purified. But there needs to be regret. If there's no regret, then all that I'm really saying to God is one thing. Please don't punish me. I'm not saying anything else. Please don't punish me. And by the way, I have a secret for you that may work to a certain extent as well. I recognize that God is the king of the universe, and I recognize that God could give me punishments, and that will work to an extent, but it's not the same thing. What we want to accomplish on Yom Kippur is we want to accomplish purity. What we want to accomplish is tshuva. What proper tshuva is, as I said, it's recalibration. It's creating a new inner world within us. What tshuva really is having regret of the past. To what extent do I need to regret until God can attest that the regret is so sincere, he's not going to do it again, and now I'm going to contradict myself again. And if you do it again, you're not doing it again, you're doing something else again. You're doing the same thing, but it's a whole new experience. But why do I say it's a whole new experience? Because once again, there was a struggle. Which means that tshuva really should be that I get to the point that I've eradicated that sin from my personality, even though I may reintroduce myself to the sin. The fact that I've been able to erase it, the fact that I've been able to start all over again, is really what this incredible gift is that God gave us. But that only works if I have true regret. And if I have true regret, then I really have a chance of accepting myself in the future. The only way that this can happen is really if I stand in front of God, which means that little line, what is tshuva? Hu she'ashuva chotei mecheto lefnei Hashem v'yitvadeh. In that little line, the Rambam really encapsulated everything that we said today. So God should give us the courage to be able to regret the mistakes that we've made. God should give us the courage and the strength to be able to recalibrate, to create a new inner world. He should help us recreate ourselves, which by the way is one of the beautiful interpretations the Vilna Gaon says of Nasa Adam Bitzalmenu, that we have this constant mitzvah of recreating ourselves in the image of God. Nasa, God says, who is he talking? He's talking to us. That we need to recreate ourselves on a yearly basis, at least, maybe even more often, in terms of people that are not energized by sin, but become energized by things which are holy. We need to be able to reject the past, accept for the future, enter into the mikvah, and therefore become completely purified. And that's really what the power of Yom Kippur is. That I bless that all of us have this strength, and that we all have a gemar chatima tova, and that we have a year again, which is signed and sealed, one of complete health and happiness, And it becomes transformed from the year that we've had till now, and one which is really one of where we become liberated. As Bizrat Hashem, that we will get there and get there very, very soon. Everybody, even if you have to stay home, and even if maybe even you're in situations that you can't fast, may still nonetheless God give us complete, we'll call it absolution, if you will, a complete cleansing of us, which is really what this mikveh is. But now you know the key point. The key point really is the regret. And once we have the regret, God is able to erase the past. Erasing the past then creates us as new human beings. So indeed, na'aseh adam b'tzameinu. So let's be the partners with God in that and recreate ourselves in the image of God. Gemar chatima tova.